Good morning. It is Monday, March 30th, 2026. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ted.
Busy, busy show this morning. We're going to do news. We have something weird and disturbing to talk to you about after the news. We have guest Pickaxe CEO Jeff Dornick coming on to talk about free speech. That'll be kind of an appropriate segue to what we'll be talking about right after the news. It's just a little bit of housekeeping. TMI show, no TMI show today. Manila's out sick. Hopefully she's getting better and she'll be back tomorrow. We'll be starting our exclusive Q&A, all Q&A shows Monday and Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, not today, Wednesday at 12 noon. We're here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Robbie, I've got to ask you for a little bit of tech assistance here. Those audios that I want to play, yep. StreamYard doesn't let me play them. They let me add video. They don't let me add audio. So if you can sort of figure out how we can play them here, that would be great. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, I do. Probably have to go through OBS and not that. So if we can't make it play, play today, we'll have to play them tomorrow.
Okay, that's unfortunate. Okay, I tried to
Actually, I'll let you do video.
They'll let you do video. So if you can convert them to video files, it says it needs a video track, is what StreamYard's saying.
Hold on. I've got you. I'm your Huckleberry.
All right, so you've got 15, 20 minutes to work on it. So
good. How many of these do you want? Just a couple of them?
There's three. Well, yeah, and just choose like, you know, choose like three.
I'm just grabbing what y'all, I'm just grabbing cool, whatever y'all cool. dropped here.
All right. Thank you, Robbie. Appreciate that. All right. So let's get to it. In the Middle East, John, we'll just get to it right away, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So obviously the much anticipated ground war looks like it's about to happen. Thousands of American troops are now in the Middle East. And Trump says he's definitely seems to be leaning towards attacking Karg Island. He says he wants to take Iran's oil. You know, that's not an idle threat after what
happened. No, that's a big deal.
It's also such a war crime. It's off the charts. And then I think the big story really, truly is Yemen, the Houthis getting involved. Bab el-Mandeb, I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation.
No, that's right, the Bab el-Mandeb.
So that's basically that's the strait that goes to the Red Sea. It's the equivalent of the Strait of Hormuz. But
correct. And it's so narrow. It's like 9 miles across.
Much narrower than the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, much narrower.
So that's so that little strait separates Yemen from Djibouti and Eritrea. And it's kind of like
see how wide it is.
It's just north of where the Gulf of Aden, where those Somali pirates always notoriously operate, like Captain Phillips and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, the Houthis have been discounted in all this. John, let's just start with the Houthis. How serious of a factor are the Houthis here?
Well, the reason the reason why we thought the Houthis would not be a factor is because they came to an agreement with the United States to stop attacking U.S. ships and U.S. warships. And so we just, as a country, we just collectively kind of forgot about them.
Mm.
But they launched a missile strike on Israel that connected. And so long as the Houthis have a supply of missiles, even though they're not guided missiles, they can sort of point them in the general right direction and at least frighten people. They might, you know, hit a neighborhood or something. So this is kind of a big deal, not because it's necessarily going to do some damage, so much as it's going to frighten people and distract the Israelis. So now the Israelis don't just have to worry about the Iranians and their incoming drones and missiles. Now they have to worry about the Houthis as well.
And the
Lebanese.
I was just going to say the Iranians are busy, have a multi-front war going on, right? I mean, they're still engaged in ethnic cleansing in West Bank and Gaza. They're genociding in Gaza. They're invading southern Lebanon. The AP has officially designated it an invasion. Mm-hmm. I think an invasion is technically whenever you go into a country you don't belong in. And then there's, and now Yemen and Iran. I mean, that's a lot for a little tiny, highly belligerent country to chew.
It is. And while the Israelis cross the Lebanese border with ease every time they want to do it and slaughter as many people as they want to slaughter, it's never a long-term strategy. You just can't maintain it. It's an untenable policy. And so it looks this time as if the Israelis are seeking a buffer zone. This is something that you raised a couple of weeks ago, Ted. You said, rhetorically, are the Israelis looking for a buffer zone? I think that's exactly what they're doing.
Basically, south of the Litani River.
The Litani River is going to be the dividing line. Mm-hmm. But the thing is you can internally displace hundreds of thousands of people. There are 900,000 civilians that are internally displaced right now in Lebanon. This is a humanitarian catastrophe. And of course, the Israelis don't care. But the issue of invading up to the Litani River and then permanently holding the territory south of the Litani River. This is new.
It is, and the Israelis, they seem to, in that area south of the Litani, they've already begun kind of Gaza-like demolition operations where they're razing everything. John, what's that about? Yeah. Why is that a tactic? Like, what
this is all about
an occupying army gain from that?
This is all about Hezbollah rocket attacks on Jewish settlements in northern Israel. There are settlements within like 2 or 3 kilometers of the Lebanese border. Why in the world you would want to set up a settlement right there within like literally a hand grenade's distance, you know, from the Lebanese border is a mystery to me, but the Israelis have. And so one of the things that these settlements have to deal with all the time is incoming Hezbollah rockets, usually shoulder-fired rockets. Sometimes they connect, they destroy houses. Every once in a while, they'll kill somebody. They hit a school playground, a year or 2 years ago and killed a couple of adults who happened to be there at the playground, just kind of standing around. So this is all part of the, I'm going to use the term, the greater Israel, not that giant swath that includes Saudi Arabia and all of Jordan and all this stuff, but greater Israel, meaning a chunk of Syria, a chunk of Lebanon, the West Bank, Gaza, that the Israelis want for the protection of settlers.
So flattening Lebanese homes and turning southern Lebanon into like what they did in Gaza, turning it into a gravel parking lot.
Yeah.
Is that about trying to deny those who would be firing weapons into Israel a place to hide and set up those launchers? Is that what it's about?
Yes. But all that's going to happen is they're going to move. The technology is going to improve. They're going to get more distance out of their rockets. Mm-hmm. And then the Israelis are going to have to cross the Litani River and go on to the north side of the Litani River. Mm-hmm. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And God forbid anybody should either start treating people like human beings or engage in some sort of peace talks, even indirectly. God forbid. It's easier just to, commit crimes against humanity.
Totally. I agree. Look, I think the Houthis are a big deal too. You were asking about, by the way, I just want to answer why would the Israelis have settlements 3 miles from the border? I don't know. Why would you have a music festival 3 kilometers away from the border fence with Gaza, right? Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
It's bizarre. Or a kibbutz, right?
It's some arrogance, man.
It is. So I guess they're like, well, it's all ours. So we get to, we're going to control every little bit of it. So before we move on from the Houthis, I mean, the threat is huge, right? Like I used to work in banking and business. Shipping, they're not going, if there's a 1% chance that like your tanker is going to take a Houthi missile, you're not sending that tanker through there. You're just not.
Look at it this way too. The Persian Gulf accounts for 65% of the world's fertilizer. So 65% of the world's fertilizer has to go through the Strait of Hormuz. Mm-hmm. And as if that isn't bad enough, it then splits. Half of it goes east to Asia. Mm-hmm. Half of it goes west to the Bab el-Mandeb to then go through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. And if the Houthis are armed and blowing up ships again, this is going to be bad. Ted, I've lost your audio. I don't know if it's you or me. I'm going to hit refresh on mine. How's that?
Good. You're good. How am I?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, great. That was very strange. I wonder if my computer's just getting old or we're having some security breaches. Let's say that.
Indeed.
All right, let's do some questions from leftover from Friday. So just a reminder, the new schedule, right? Q&A Wednesday, Monday and Wednesday, starting this Wednesday, April 1st at 12 noon. So as usual, we love your questions. We'll take them during this show. This show is going to be really packed, but we're going to, any questions we don't get to today, the super chats will be kicked over into the next show Wednesday. And then all of those, anything that's left over, will end up in the Q&A only show on Wednesday at noon. All right, let's do these leftovers. All right, UK fan man, thanks for the $5. Why is Hebrew the only language considered when using the term anti-Semitic? Is this not disrespectful to all the other Semitic languages?
Every Arab I know makes exactly the same argument. And of course, the writer is absolutely correct. Semitism does not mean Jewishness.
No.
It means people from the Semitic tribes, and that includes the Arabs. So yeah, that's exactly right.
Let's see. Desert Fox 41, thanks for the dollar. What do you guys make of the Epstein-Rothschild connection? He brags about it in his emails with Peter Thiel. Also, thoughts on the French Guard and Italian. The French avant-garde and Italian. I'm watching some Depardieu and Fellini this Friday. We won't talk about Depardieu's sexual proclivities, but great actor. I love the I'm not a huge Fellini fan, John.
You know, Ted, I've got to agree. I've tried, and I thought too. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just an idiot and I don't understand.
What I think I'm dumb.
But I tried.
I mean, you know, I went to a very pretentious college. They showed all those movies at the student union. And it was just like, I don't care about 8.5 or any of that.
No. I wanted to.
Yeah.
I wanted to be one of those like, Fellini.
It's like Paul Thomas Anderson.
Of Fellini.
Thomas Anderson. I just can't, you know, not really.
I've come around.
Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson. I'm not a fan.
It's too tweet.
Just like, what's his name? Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. He was married to Madonna.
Yeah.
Who told this guy he should be a director? Like, he's never made a single decent movie. Another one. What's his face that did The Great Gatsby and Elvis? Hey, Ted, I assume that you're not calling me right now. Is that correct?
That is correct. I am not calling you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, what a dick.
Here, I want to show you.
All right, here we go.
Ted Rawls calling.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep, that's a little teaser. Let's see. Let me put this.
Amateurs.
We'll get to that in a minute or two. All right, we'll do a few more questions and we'll get straight to that. What's going on with John and I, who are being harassed? Palestinians lived and live under brutal apartheid and have gone through unspeakable horrors. What can they do to win as a people? I'm in contact with a few. Well, that's a big, huge question.
I went to a fundraiser Friday night for a guy named Abdul Asayed. It's actually Abdurrahman Asayed. He's a medical doctor running for the U.S. Senate in Michigan.
You slime ball mother.
Oh, okay, sorry.
He graduated from the University of Michigan, went to medical school at Columbia University, became a Rhodes Scholar, and then when he got back from the U.K., became an epidemiologist. And he's running for U.S. Senate from Michigan. He is a proud Palestinian. And somewhat to my surprise, at the fundraiser, his talk was about healthcare. And then at the very end, a little bit about Palestine. But you can tell he's very passionate about Palestine as well. But it was all about healthcare. And I thought to myself, man, we should have 100 senators like this guy. I very proudly wrote that check at the end of the night.
Nice.
That's one way of doing it. And I'll add, in the 1990s, there was a real debate in the Muslim community in Michigan about whether it was acceptable for Muslims to participate in American elections. And I don't know what just happened. I think Ted fell out, but that's okay. It was about whether or not Muslims should participate in American elections. And Imams weighed in, and Imams said that yes, of course, Muslims should participate. It's the only way to affect change. But it took 20 years.
Hey, John.
Yeah. There you go. John's not calling Ted.
No, and I'm not calling John because we have a radio show. We're live on the air.
Morons. So it's only now that Muslims are really coming around to participating fully in the American political process. And that's a good thing. And, you know, change is incremental and it's very slow and it could take a century. But you got to start with that first step. And the first step is participating fully in the political process.
Well, okay. So let's do it. And I'm going to say for the Palestinians, honestly, this is going to sound weird. I think they are winning. I mean, basically, you know, we talk about
how the
Iranians are winning by surviving, and the Palestinians are surviving, and global public opinion, particularly in among the American people who are Israel's closest allies, the U.S., is shrinking, and it's never coming back, especially because young people really don't support Israel. And they're going to get older and more powerful and more influential, and old people who support Israel are going to die. You know, Palestinians be playing the long game, and they're going to win. They are going to win.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I want to live long enough to see it, but I think it's going to happen. Okay. Zilu, thanks for the $9.99. What are the likely political consequences of the war with Iran? It's going to be the destruction of the Donald Trump administration, I think.
I agree.
It's the end of the MAGA movement.
And I agree with that as well. This is a very serious split within the Republican Party. So many Republican voters really believed in the, you know, end to foreign wars message of the Trump campaign. And Marco Rubio is running the show. And Marco Rubio is a John McCain style neocon.
Yes. Yes, he is. With even less, but with less charisma. Good morning, gents. Retard is really fucking us. Orange retard is really fucking us. This morning, Spain closed its airspace to the U.S. Any idea of any other EU countries will join this idea? I should also say, John, that there's gas rationing around the corner in the U.K. Thoughts on Ukraine signing with Gulf? I mean, like next week. Signing with Gulf states in defense agreement. Thanks, men. Hashtag pardon John. Thanks, Arian, for the $19.99.
Ted, you just called me a second, third, fourth, and fifth time.
I'm a busy boy. I can call you multiple times
and a sixth time. Now your sixth call is trying to come through.
I think it's time to talk about this, John. Do you please go ahead.
So a couple of weeks ago, I started getting calls from some fucking moron using a Google Voice number based in New York, a 917 number. Mm-hmm. And he's this cowardly anonymous moron hiding behind anonymous phone message or phone numbers. He's calling me now for the seventh time. And it started off with, he says, "You stupid piece of shit. Stop talking about Reza Pahlavi." Well, let me tell you about Reza Pahlavi. First of all, Reza Pahlavi is the coward son of the former Shah of Iran. He fucked his brother's wife. His brother then committed suicide. Reza Pahlavi is afraid of his own fucking shadow. And I said in multiple venues that if he were to return to Iran, which is exactly what the Israelis want because he's a Mossad stooge, that he wouldn't survive the walk from the plane to the terminal. I stand by that.
I agree with that. I agreed with it then. I agree with it now.
Yeah. So,
and also he's dumb as us.
And he's dumb. And that's even maybe worse than being a coward. He's just dumb. So this coward hiding behind anonymity started calling me a piece of shit, fucking asshole, fucking piece of shit. He's going to fuck me up the ass and all this stuff. And then I would block the number. He'd get another Google Voice number. I'd block that one. He got a third. I blocked that. And then the death threats began. Mm-hmm. And my response to death threats is usually a pretty standard. Bring it on, tough guy. Bring it on. Because as Ted pointed out before the show started, real assassins don't fucking talk about it, especially through anonymous Google Voice numbers.
Right.
They just do it in silence. Mm-hmm. And this fucking guy, he just called me now the eighth time. He's all talk, this tough guy with his vaguely Iranian Hebrew accent.
Shall we play?
Yeah, let's play.
All right, let's put this up. So this is one, Robbie, thank you for converting this. I'm going to put Robbie up here too. So here we go. We're going to make this. I know I got it to work before. All right, here we go.
You slime ball motherfucker. You don't talk about Reza Pahlavi again. You fucking hear me? Fuck you, ass licker. Stephen Morrison. Answer the phone, motherfucker.
Yep.
It's a lot of repetition.
He's not terribly bright. He doesn't have very much in his quiver. But that's pretty much it. And the funny thing is, you know, with the new iOS download, and I'm sure you have the same situation. If a number isn't saved in my phone, mm-hmm. it just goes directly to voicemail.
Yeah, that's how I have it set up now.
So this guy is not bothering me in any way. And that's fine. And Ted and I text each other constantly. So Ted calling me, you know, eight consecutive times, especially while we're here on the show. He's like, buddy, are you fucking brain damaged? He's calling again right now. Are you fucking brain damaged?
Yeah. Something. Obviously, he's out of his fucking mind. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I've read a lot about these kind of creepy stalker fuckers.
Yeah.
And, he's going to get what he deserves because, you know, we're
just like Reza Pahlavi is going to get what he deserves. He's going to get a fist up his ass.
And
then he's going to say, thank you, sir. May I have another?
He's never going to be the leader of Iran. No. Never.
No.
Like his degenerate, torturing father.
Yeah. His degenerate father who died like a whimpering coward.
So this guy's, and he's like, you know, basically it's like, this fucking monarchist idiot. Like, it's 2026. You're a monarchist? What the fuck is wrong with
Seriously.
You?
You know, the only monarchists among Iranians are living in Beverly Hills and being, you know, supported by in the pay of the Israeli Mossad. So, you know, you people are not impressive.
No, they're making fools of themselves on social media.
Well, he's also not as smart as he thinks he is. Let's just put that out there too.
He will be caught, and
Well, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that. Yeah,
Robbie.
Yeah,
you're a tech guy. What can you tell us?
Well, what's pretty cool is that whenever you make a voice over IP call, so long as you have a date, a time, and a phone number, if you know what you're doing, which fortunately I know what I'm doing. You're able to trace it back. Now, I can't get your phone number without a warrant, but I know where you are. And here's the best part: I have successfully given you a digital colonoscopy, and you're too stupid to even realize it. I am
idiot.
Tickling your tonsils as we speak.
Yeah, and we know exactly where you are.
I have got six reports with your IP address and everything. I know that you're using Google. I've got the reports. I'm looking at them right here. I sent them all to John and Ted. Fortunately, John, he has a lot of friends in the FBI, and what you're doing is a felony.
Yeah.
And so
guess what John did this morning?
Don't take
John called his friends at the FBI.
So, so go on ahead. I mean, you're harassing my friends. Now, first, I'm offended that you think so little of me that you can't harass me. I mean, of the people on the show, let's be honest, I'm the one who usually gets the most hate and vitriol. Racist, white nationalist, Nazi. No one can bother me. It's like, no, I can't be bothered with this. No, I'm just going to harass the two lefties who are the moderates. I feel left out. I'm personally offended. Next time, also, do you really think,
honestly, you're going to scare John Kiriakou?
Oh, please go fuck yourself.
Really? Like he's afraid of you. I mean, you know, he knows he's had real reasons to be afraid, and you're not one of them. You know,
that's right.
Really, truly.
Yeah. Well, we got you, pussy. We got you. And the FBI is going to get you next.
So, and by the way,
bring it on, baby.
It would not be sad if someone were to recognize his voice. And Trump, let us know if you know him.
Ted, are you able to display one of the reports that I sent you so that way he knows I'm not bluffing? I don't know if you can show it in StreamYard.
Yes, I think I can. Let's see.
Listen, I talk slow. My family tree ain't got too many forks, but I'm not as retarded as a Iranian monarchist.
Seriously. It's like, God, people, get with the program. Your Shahenshah is not coming back.
So I got to do a couple steps to make this happen here. Robbie, do we have any more questions while we're dealing with?
Not the outstanding ones, but I've not been watching the chat this morning from converting those audios over into video and stuff. So,
okay. So we'll get in there and get some of those.
I can't show it, but here's what I have. So unfortunately, because it would violate YouTube's terms of service, I can't give y'all the phone number for this dickhead. However, what I can tell you is that the time that he called was 3:28:26 at 1500 as a voice over IP came in through Google. And let's just keep on going here, shall we? Let me pull up the latest report. John, go ahead and send me the phone number. I have it now ready to go. Oh, awesome. Oh,
great. Here's the report. Image file. I just cut and pasted it. I hope that's okay.
That's fine. Because I've got a bunch. I got a bunch of them. I got these for days.
That's true. You do. Oh shit! Why is it not coming up?
It doesn't like you.
I know. I'm having. Here we go. Invalid file type. Really? Okay.
Shoot.
Robbie. Okay. I can do this. I know. I can do this.
Yeah. So, but here's one right here. So just kind of give y'all an idea about what y'all's favorite redneck is able to do here. It's kind of fun. This is the kind of work I enjoy doing more than producing. I enjoy screwing people. So the carrier is Google Grand Central. I see that you're using an SVR protocol, which is really kind of lame. You should really up your game. Maybe you should start spending some more money on a better system.
Seriously, dope.
If you can't do that, at least stick your dick in a knot hole in a fence or something if you can't get laid. That's all right.
If he could even find his little micro dick.
I mean, yeah, like him and Mark Levin. So I did the lookup response. I see that the phone number is based out of New York City. And I see that, like I said, he's using an SVR wrapper with a 910 area code. But the mobile country code is 311. So what's nice is that if some dumb, uneducated hick like me who's never been to college can get all this information, John's friends of the FBI would be able to do so much better with the metadata that I'm sending him. So please keep doing it.
Yeah,
and I hope that you're an immigrant, so your ass gets deported.
Yeah, that would be seriously good. That's a deportation that Ted Rall could get fully behind.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Off to CCOT. Bye. Okay. Thank you, Robbie. All right. I'll keep Robbie on stage here. Joining us for our next section is Jeff Dornick. He's the CEO of Pickaxe, pickaxe.com. I'm active on Pickaxe, as is Robbie, I know. John, I don't know if you're on there or not, but if you're not, you should be.
I apologize.
So Pickaxe is a free speech-oriented platform. They all say they are, but as far as I can tell, Pickaxe really is. So, Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I've been looking forward to chat with all you guys.
So, Robbie, you want to tee this one up?
Yeah, so Jeff Dornick is a friend of mine. He is the CEO of Pickaxe. I was one of the first people to be on the Pickaxe. It's pretty cool. Over there's Putinbot Gaming of all the appropriate monikers for the MAGA right, and just awesome guy. He's a free speech absolutist. He has made it his mission to fight big tech and the censorship that they do, and we have talked more than once about this big split that's happened on the right, specifically with Trump's full embrace of neoconism, the abandonment of his base, and frankly, the self-destruction of his movement. And I just want to just bring you on, Jeff, and see what is it that you're hearing from people that you run with about how Trump has just gone full John McCain with, frankly, an illegal, unconstitutional war of aggression against a sovereign nation without congressional approval.
Yeah.
What are you hearing on your end?
Well, it's interesting because it's like when you look at the Republican base, it's been extremely splintered. I think that's obvious to anybody kind of looking at it. But it's like historically, it used to be you'd have the traditional Republicans versus the MAGA Republicans, and now you've got MAGA kind of being splintered off into all these different factions and all that. And to where I think that the thing is that we're seeing is that you've got Trump is kind of redefining America First, redefining MAGA, and to where really the only people that are really supporting a lot of these actions by the Trump administration are the neocons and the Trump sycophants is really what it comes down to, because a lot of the people that actually bought into his America First agenda and bought into his campaign promises of no foreign interventionist wars, no regime changes, which, by the way, we've had, what are we, two going on three regime changes now within the first year of his presidency. You know, like a lot of people that I'm talking to, they're like, this is not what we voted for. And then if you start questioning it, then all the sycophants start coming after you and trying to destroy you. And that's why I think it was last night or the night before, you know, one of my good friends, Brandon Strock, who founder of Walkaway, he spoke at CPAC and he basically just kind of called everybody out where he's like, guys, can we knock off all of the personal smears and trying to destroy people just because they have legitimate questions about our own government or a foreign government? He's like, last I checked, that's kind of what patriotism is supposed to be. You're supposed to challenge the status quo. You're supposed to challenge what the government is doing, ask questions, and don't just go along. So we're in a very weird place right now, I think, especially on the right, which historically I've been, and I've kind of been trending a little bit away from the Republican Party as of late. But it's been interesting to kind of see the developments happening, especially under this Trump 2.0.
Jeff, I mean, just before you came on, John and I both kind of agreed that the major political implication of the Iran war is going to be the destruction of the Trump administration and of the MAGA movement. Do you think that's putting too extreme a point on it, or is the threat really of a schism that existential as John and I think?
Yeah, well, I think that there's lots of things that are contributing to it, and I think the Iran war specifically, I think made it a point of no return for a lot of people of like okay, so we were promised the Epstein files, we were promised the 9/11 files, we were promised transparency, we were promised that, you know, like I've had Kash Patel on my show, we were promised Cash is going to get in there and drain the swamp and end the deep state control within the agencies and all that kind of stuff. Has anything happened? Where's the arrests? Where are we dealing with the corruption? Where are we actually dealing with all of this? But I think everybody was still kind of holding on of, okay, at least we're not at war. At least we're not, you know, like, you know, getting, you know, going back to, you know, we're being the world's police and all that. And then all of a sudden here we are. And we had Venezuela where, you know, Trump took out, you know, had a regime change. Now we're dealing with Iran, and I think from a lot of the people that I've talked to that's close to the Trump administration, I think that my guess, and again, I can only base upon certain conversations, I think that Trump kind of thought that, okay, we were in and out in Venezuela. We got the regime change we wanted. Great. Let's go do that in Iran. And I think he bought into the narrative that they could do that, and it's like now he's in there, and now it's like, okay, we're not getting out of this really quick. How is this going to be? I think it was J.D. Vance that was just, you know, basically projecting – we could be there another year or two. I think the goalpost keeps getting pushed off down the road. It's like at what point is the Trump administration going to learn their lesson that they're listening to the wrong people? They're listening to the very people that they said that they were going to drain out of the swamp, and then turning their back on his base that actually bought into his agenda when he first started running for president.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Jeff. This is weird. This doesn't make any sense to me. I'm a right winger. I voted for Trump in 2016 because I wanted something different. He was saying all the right things. He won me when he called W a war criminal on Valentine's Day in the debate and crucified Jeb with the explanation point on national TV. I was like, this is my guy. And Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro were blasting Trump. Now they are America first and I'm not. They're the ones that Trump is going to listen to, the people who are never Trumpers. And so he's just going to just completely abandon the people who got him to the dance, not once, but twice, for the same people who were his enemies in the first place. And what world is this saying?
Yeah. Well, I feel like everything is upside down, backwards, and it just feels bonkers to me because none of this makes any sense, because none of this is the agenda that Trump laid out. None of this is what he pitched to his base and that his base voted for. I mean, a big reason why Trump won this last election was because of, you know, you bring in the RFK Juniors and the Tulsi Gabbards and the, you know, center, the center right, center left kind of coalition. Because of we're not going to be the police of the world. We're not going to be a part of the forever wars. We're not going to be a part of the regime changes. And I think that then he gets in there, and then who is he listening to? He's listening to Lindsey Graham, who, by the way, is down in Disney World last I checked, based on a TMZ report. And then you're just sitting here, and you're like, is this like everything is backwards? Like, and then his base, and this is one of my biggest frustrations. His base then will be the sycophants that they are, and then try to defend and justify every single thing that he does. Defend the fact that he'll say that Lindsey Graham is MAGA and Thomas Massie is a traitor. And you're like, everything is backwards. I just, none of this makes any sense except for the fact that the neocons are running the show within the Trump White House. I don't see any other justification.
Do you see the sort of the anti-neocon faction as what it has been reported to be? That would be J.D. Vance and Tulsi Gabbard and maybe the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, although that may be apocryphal. Do you see that being the case? And if so, is Tulsi Gabbard short for this administration?
Yeah, I think that Trump acknowledged, I think it was yesterday or the day before, basically over the weekend, that Tulsi doesn't necessarily see eye to eye with him on Iran, and she's not, in his words, not as strong on this as he is. But he made it seem like that's okay, and we take different perspectives and different positions within the administration. I don't necessarily know if Tulsi would and people like her would be pushed out by Trump himself. I could see it happening from some, you know, people within his administration, you know, like the Susie Wiles type of people. But I think that what we're really seeing is, I think it's going to come to a head at a certain point, because if you're Tulsi Gabbard, who doesn't believe in a lot of these foreign interventionist wars, has been very opposed to Iran. I think from what I understand as well, like she disagrees with the intelligence that Trump is basing the justification on going to war with Iran. You know, at a certain point, it's going to come to a head. And then is she going to be forced into either doing things that she believes is morally wrong, or is she going to be forced into either getting fired or pulling a Joe Kent? I think at a certain point it's going to come to a head. And I don't necessarily think that the anti-neocon crowd within the Trump administration will be able to continually stand by when, you know, we're, you know, already dealing with Iran. We're going to be stuck there in the Middle East for who knows how long. And then what are we going to do? We're going to go into Cuba next. What's after that? At what point is enough enough?
Yeah.
Jeff, why do you think, I mean, we all agree that, this is not what Trump promised, and he appointed people, you know, personnel is policy, right? He appointed the wrong personnel. Now we've got the wrong policy. Why did he appoint the wrong personnel? I mean, how did that happen? Why did he choose people like Marco Rubio? Why didn't he bring in people who were more skeptical of the forever wars?
Honestly, you know, this is what we were told throughout this last campaign, was that Trump 1.0, he made a lot of mistakes in hiring. Trump 2.0, it's going to be different. We're going to get the right people in there. And I think a lot of people thought that it would be when you had him bringing in people like Tulsi and RFK Jr. Mm-hmm. And you bring on, you know, for, you know, as crappy as Doge was, you bring on Elon Musk and, you know, the quote unquote, the best of the best. Right. But at the same time, you're looking at this, you're like, it's kind of a repeat, if not worse than Trump 1.0 with a lot of the internal hirings that are the closest to him. And from everything that I've seen, It feels very much like he's trusting the very people that he campaigned against in his first administration, when he was really taking on the Republican establishment, taking on the neocons. And then what does he do? He surrounds himself with the neocons and the establishment Republicans, mm-hmm. and then calls them MAGA, and then attacks his actual MAGA base and says that they're rhinos, that they're you know, anti-Trump, anti-America, anti-patriot, they're traitors, the whole deal, and sticks Laura Loomer on everybody. And you're just like, I don't know. I don't know what is going through his head, unless it's just the fact that he's got somebody like Susie Wiles, who I've been warning against since the campaign. It was honestly, when I saw that he hired Susie Wiles, that was one of the contributing factors of me actually walking away from Trump and backing RFK Jr. is I'm like, if you're going to hire Susie Wiles, who has deep ties with all the industrial complexes, who has deep ties with everything that Donald Trump has campaigned against, and she's going to be the gatekeeper, she's going to be the one running the show, it's not going to be good for the America First agenda that Trump pitched to everybody. And I think we're seeing the actual results of that.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to point out real quick, y'all, and this is going to tie right into Pickaxe. Over on YouTube, there is a bunch of there's another word for it. There's a bunch of fuckery going on. Over 1,200 people were just dropped from the stream. They are having to come back manually. And we know that Barry Weiss is on the record saying that it's incumbent on big tech and these companies to control SEO and search and moderate what it is that people are able to see. She said that people are able to say what they want, but they don't have a freedom of reach. So I think that's why Rumble is so important, and increasingly that's why Pickaxe is so important. What is Pickaxe?
Yeah, so what basically the way that we lay it out is we're a constitutionally protected free speech social media platform. So like you know if it's legal, you're allowed to say it. The one exception is we do ban pornography, and you know, for the free speech absolutists that give me a lot of crap for that, I always say, like, you can't go down to your actual town square, take off your clothes, and have sex in the middle of the town square and not get arrested. So I'm not going to allow you to do that in my digital town square. So outside of that, you're basically allowed to say, you know, what you want. And I think the other component, like what you mentioned, is that if you look on all these platforms that are now claiming to be free speech, they're always saying, okay, freedom of speech, but literally in the terms of service on X, it's, you have freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. And so basically you can say what you want, but that doesn't mean that they have to let anybody actually see it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, this has wider implications than even just politics. This is impacting, you know, influencers in a whole host of different industries. Because now what they're doing is they're having to base everything on algorithms. Everything is about the algorithm. And so what ends up happening is, when you think about it, if everything is based on the algorithm, how do you actually build community? You can't. You physically cannot do it if you're always chasing the algorithm. So, you know, Elon Musk, he put out his source code for, you know, what content shows up on your newsfeed. It has very little to no bearing about the number of followers you have, who follows you, who you follow. That has almost no bearing on who actually sees your content. It has everything to do with the algorithm and the AI will take a look at your content. It'll decide, it'll do a little test market, you know, and show your content to a handful of people, see what kind of engagement it gets, see which kind of people actually engage with the content. And then it'll decide, should we or should we not show this to more people? But they may follow you, they may not. It doesn't matter whether they follow you. It's just you're chasing an algorithm. So what does that do to the content? Now what ends up happening is you get people like, you know, the Cat Turds and the Gunther Eaglemans and the Laura Loomers and all that kind of stuff. What do they do? They're posting content that the algorithm will pick up. So they're basing their content and they're writing the content for a computer, not for people. And I think that what we're seeing and the result of that is just a massive just destruction of all semblance of conversation on X, into where, yeah, it's just gaslighting, everybody's fighting each other and just firebombing and whatever it is. And so what we're actually doing with Pickaxe is just this idea of, if you follow somebody, they can actually see your content. And we've been having a lot of testimonials from a lot of people. Like one guy actually just posted that he's like, I've got 45,000 followers on X and 45 followers on Pickaxe, and I'm getting more engagement and more conversations on Pickaxe than I am on X. It's because we don't have algorithms, and we're actually setting it up to where our quote unquote algorithms are based on humans. So the humans are actually deciding what gets seen, not computers. So I think we're seeing the very positive result of that right now.
Jeff, how do you break through the, you know, the market dominance of your competitors? You know, I mean, there's, you know, as you know, I'm a Marxist. Capitalism has a tendency towards monopolization and aggregation of power and wealth. And you know, these are companies that these other media social media companies got to the table before you. So how do you how do you get heard, and how do you spread the message about Pickaxe?
Yeah, honestly, like we're doing a lot of marketing, a lot of promotion. You know, obviously I'm going on shows and doing all that kind of stuff to promote, but we're also going to be focusing a lot on like in-person events where we can actually make human-to-human connections, because I think that's really where our bread and butter is going to be, is how do we connect human beings to human beings and there's something different and something unique when you actually meet somebody face to face as opposed to digitally. There's some kind of like connection that happens, and you can't even really explain it, but you have a much more long-term connection with somebody if you see them face to face or see them in person than you do digitally. And so we're going to be doing that, but the more that we can get people to buy into this idea and kind of retrain people's minds and hopefully, you know, get them past their withdrawals of dopamine hits that they get on the other platforms and realize that, like, no, you can actually build community. Like, I would rather have a smaller audience that actually sees all my content, where we're actually building community. We can actually talk and go back and forth, and you build, you know, as much of a relationship as you can and friendship online than this digital chaos that's happening on these other platforms. And also on the other side is that I've set up our business model as well to where I'm not like all the rest of the tech startups in Silicon Valley, where they're always going for the grand slam. Like, I can't tell you how many people that advised me, quote unquote, on how to build Pickaxe. And like, you got to burn through a lot of money. You got to do these different rounds of fundraising. And, you know, basically the goal is to burn as much money as you can. So then that way you can raise more money. So that way you can burn it, so you can raise more money. And that's basically the thing. And then the goal is to ultimately just turn around and sell. Well, that's not what I want to do. Like, for me, I would rather do this for the rest of my life, right? So I got to set up a sustainable business model without an insane burn rate. And I don't need millions and millions of users in order to be profitable. So I have a much lower threshold for building it. So I can actually continue to build and grow, and I'm building for the long term, not necessarily for the quick hit grand slam, which I think will actually make it a lot more sustainable and then a lot better for the users and the creators on the platform.
Jeff, that's great. Very smart. Thank you so much for coming on. That's Jeff Dornick. He's the CEO of Pickaxe. Strongly encourage you to come over and join the conversation over at pickaxe.com. And there's an app on iOS and on the Android store, so on the Google store. So
yes.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Okay. So it appears, guys, that we're continuing to get attacked throughout the show here in mysterious ways. So this doesn't appear to be like a random asshole. Yeah. Although there's a random asshole involved, but my mic got turned on and off several times. That's never happened ever in my life on this computer, which I've had for years. We've had 1,500 watchers on YouTube be kicked off, and I guess that hopefully, Robbie, are they migrating back, or what's going on?
Let me see here. On YouTube, we've got some of them back. 45 out of just under 2,000 people have returned to the channel.
Wow.
To watch the live stream.
Okay. Well, if you're watching on the repeat stream later, we apologize to you who got dropped out. It was not our fault. We did not want to lose you.
Well, one thing I want to say, because there's a lot of people who are on the YouTube chat right now who are talking about, you know, why are we having Jeff on and why is he running an ad? First, he's not running an ad. The man started a business based around the premise of being able to speak freely, which supposedly that's something that everyone can agree on, and not have to cater to an algorithm in order to be seen. That's the point.
He's also smart about politics, too.
Oh, he's incredibly smart about politics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, if you're so trapped on the plantation where you think the only way that you can speak is by playing the games of Barry Weiss and Adel Adelson and their backers, then frankly, you're part of the problem. Open your mind just a little bit. Now, I'm always attacked on this show for being a closed-minded religious nut and a fundamentalist. At least I have an open mind. I'm able to talk to people and think and see and look at other perspectives.
Hey, John, you're calling me again.
Geez, Ted, you've only called me 29 times in the last 45 minutes.
It's like I don't love you.
I know, right?
Jeez. I should pay more attention to you.
Is it the same phone number?
It's Ted's spoofed number.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So the problem is you can't block it because then you're blocking me.
Yeah. Right.
And I can't block fake John.
Right.
I am thinking, I don't know, maybe changing the phone, changing my, it might be time to change my phone number, although I hate doing that because it's it's like you have
the last time I changed my phone number was in 2010. The Nigerian media got a hold of my phone number and, oh my God, 24/7 calls from Nigeria. I had to switch the number and it was a good number too.
All those princes calling you.
Yeah, exactly.
No, what I would do if I was y'all, honestly, mute that number, and then if y'all have to actually call each other, message, do it over Telegram.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. He's also got another phone number of someone who's near and dear to me who I can't do that with.
No.
So, it's disgusting.
Well, the question
we're going to catch him.
Well, the question that I have, and I mean this sincerely, is how did he get a hold of y'all's contacts? That's the part that to me tells me I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm the first one that'll tell you that. But just a normal person is not able to get a hold of your contact list.
No, that's true.
So there's something else going on. I wonder if this person has a very small hat on the back of his very small head, compensating for his very small micro penis.
I suspect so.
Yeah. Well, impotence is definitely part of it, right? I mean, someone who does this, the typical MO is that it's someone who feels powerless and impotent and not able to really to feel like they're powerless. They listen to John and I and Robbie. We're talking. We have a
mouthpiece. And he is powerless because we don't bow down to the Zionist point of view.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
That's all. Simple as that.
Not to mention, I mean, if you know anything about John and I, it's like the more you fuck with us, the more oppositional we'll be. You know, it's like
exactly.
Hey, try it the old-fashioned way. At least send $1 million bribe that we would consider. Anyway, all right. But threats are not going to work. Not at all.
No.
All right. So let's do some questions, right? Shall we?
Sounds good.
I see some super chats in what's left of the Google of the YouTube. It's really sad. We lost a lot of these. If your super chat got lost, please contact Robbie at westglaciergaming@gmail.com with your super chat question. We will do it on Wednesday. If not Wednesday morning, we'll certainly do it Wednesday at 12 noon during the new Q&A show starting Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon from now on. So we're going from 5 hours a week to 7 hours a week. Thanks for the $2. Breaking. Voter learns politicians live for election. Hilarious. And let's see. Thanks for the $5. Random question for the day from Curl Cola. Do any of you play any strategy PC games? I'm a huge fan of Hearts of Iron 4. I do not play video games.
You know, to tell you the truth, the only video game I play is Angry Birds. I've been obsessed with it for more than a decade.
Well, OG.
Oh, man. I'm like one of the original users. In fact, I've got a streak going. I've gone 2,288 consecutive days. It keeps a tally on the screen.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm the gamer on the show.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm the gamer. Oh, John, you're into history. You should seriously, you should look in the Rome Total War. It was an old game.
What's it called?
Rome Total War.
Rome Total War.
It's awesome. I mean, it's...
Is it an app or is it a program?
It's a program. It's on your computer.
Total War.
Well, it has an app now. It's an old game. I bet you it's on iOS.
Guys, we have a topic to get to, so let's do this other question. Arian, thanks for the $4.99. Sorry to interrupt, but John, I want to thank you for trying to combat censorship in our media. It's been such a big issue that many people overlook. Genuinely, thank you, sirs. Vapor Fever, $1.99. John, are these the sign of the times? I don't know what that refers to, but probably the hacking. Okay, so John, you have your good, dear, beautiful friend Laura Loomer has taken an interest in you.
Yeah, I woke up yesterday to a vicious attack from Laura Loomer, the unhinged former mental patient who has attached herself to Donald Trump's hip. She called me a communist, which is kind of funny.
That's me, Laura. That's not John.
Yeah. You know, I responded to her very, very evenly. And I had a wonderful response. Wonderful response from other people just saying, she's an unhinged lunatic, so just ignore her. And then I decided just to drop it. So, you know, she has a very empty life, and she's been complaining around Washington to any right winger who will listen to her that she's furious that Donald Trump hasn't appointed her to some governmental position. But this is a woman who's banned for life from Uber, from Lyft, from Target, from Costco, because she will not stop with the anti-Muslim hate speech. Mm. And she's just not, in my view, sane enough to have any government job at any level. It's just not workable. So I decided just to ignore her.
How much influence does she have with the president, in your estimation?
Ted, I blocked your number, and somebody just remotely unblocked it and started calling me again.
Wow.
Well, I very much look forward to the FBI sinking their teeth into this one. This is going to be easy, because this fucking retard, excuse my language, made threats in his own voice.
True.
Using phones that can easily be traced with a warrant.
Repeatedly.
I mean, there are multiple felonies we're talking about here. So this is going to be, we're going to get the last laugh here.
And it's for sure across state lines, because John and I are not in the same state.
That's right. Which makes it federal, which means you're fucked.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe, you know, John can give you some tips on how to handle life as a prisoner. You can buy one of John's books.
Yeah, buy one of my books.
Doing Time Like a Spy.
Yeah, it'll be good. You'll learn something. You can sit at the pedophile table and live happily ever after with your federal conviction.
I wonder if he is a pedophile.
Oh, very well could be.
Surprise me at this point.
Yeah.
Seriously,
there was a Jewish group in the chapel.
They took offense because we always diss pedophiles here. So
there was a Jewish group in the chapel when I was working there, and literally every single one of them was a pedophile, a convicted pedophile. So he'll fit right in.
What a creature.
I'm offended. I've still yet to be harassed.
Don't worry, Robbie, your time is coming.
God.
I mean, if he's really in our contacts, you know.
I wonder if he's southern phobic. Is that a word?
South phobic? I don't know. Like grit phobic. We need a term.
Hey, grits are good.
I love grits. The more cheese, the better. Guys, oh my God, what a morning. Okay, so seriously, we will be back, you know, all hacking aside. And our YouTube audience like dropped like a rock, right?
Yeah.
But people will be watching later, I'm sure, because we'll restream the show within like an hour or so. But anyway, thanks everyone for tuning in. We are here Monday through Friday, Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Starting on Wednesday, day after tomorrow, we'll also be doing Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon, Q&A show only during that period. And again, if in the Michigas today, your question got lost, we apologize on behalf of the little small penis, impotent little Zionist piece of shit who has been fucking with us. And with that...
Yes. Yeah, seriously, y'all email me with your missed chats and send me a screenshot. If you send me an attachment, I'm not going to open it. Just send me a screenshot and we'll get it in there.
Guys, thanks everyone. And we will see you later. Talk to you later, John.
Bye-bye. Bye, see you later.